guys, and welcome, welcome, welcome once again to another podcast episode and show of the TJ McAleen Show. I am your host, as always, TJ McAleen, back with another week with this podcast, this episode, and I guess this show right here, episode 4 of the weekly podcast over at Place to Be Nation. Thank you all for your continued support, your listening, your downloading. As I've noticed the previous episodes, episode 1 with Matt Miller, episode 2 with Big Nasty, and last week's with Will Tidy have all trended very nicely over at the iTunes account with Place to Be Nation, which you can download all episodes of the show for free whenever they hit the iTunes server, and I guess also the Place to Be Nation server, however that works. I mean, remember when I used to run my show, whenever it would be uploaded to iWeb, it shortly thereafter would go to the iTunes account, and then whomever would be subscribed to the show would be able to hit refresh on their iTunes account, and it would magically pop up there. Those people who make all that stuff happen are a lot smarter than I am, like my buddy Craig, works for Apple. Just the stuff that he says that they do with iTunes and with Apple, it's mind-boggling. I like to gas bag and talk about sports, so does, you know, Craig, but he is very, very smart and technically sound when it comes to all this Apple stuff and however it works. But that's enough with that. This week's episode, as you notice on the title, Gabe Zaldivar, one of my old friends from back when I used to write full-time over at Bleacher Report, which we do get in at the beginning of the show. Gabe is someone that I really enjoy talking to. I had him on my show back whenever I would run it many times, just because, like myself, we can bounce from talking sports, like we do at the beginning of the show, talking about the LA Dodgers and baseball in general. And then we go right over to traveling. Then we go right over to comics and we come back to sports. And then we can really touch on a number of things. So it's not like I couldn't do that with Matt Miller, which obviously from listening to the first show we did with barbecue, I mean, it's the only show I've already talked about with food. But I mean, some of those other ones where you want to stick to one specific topic, like with Big Nasty. Him and I really want to talk race and wrestling because he's brilliant when it comes to that. Same with Will Tidy. The guy is soccer's main go-to guy. Wow, that was bad English on my end, but you know what I mean. But no, I didn't want to spend the next 20 minutes talking with him about North Carolina weather. It would be a boring show to you, the listener. Be a boring show for me to talk to him about it. So that's why I stuck with just soccer talk and talking about the EPL season, talking about USA Soccer with him. With Gabe, I really liked being able to just bounce around talking about comics, talking about summer movies. What else did we talk about? Sesame Street. We even spent the latter part of this show talking about the HBO getting Sesame Street on its programming coming up. I'm not sure when it's coming up, but still, it's stuff like that that it really touches on a number of people. So this week's episode, if you don't care about sports but you care about movies, this is for you. If you don't care about movies but you care about sports, hey, also for you. If you care just about me talking about my travels with my wife Sarah when we went to Bora Bora and about me drinking too much Cuban rum before we went home, this is also for you. Gabe, I know I had him on before we went to Sochi for the Olympics, so it's great to be able to, you know, talk to him and also get his ideas and get his thoughts on what's going on, especially the financial part of sports and what he does with Forbes and also Travel Pulse as well. I mean, we talked about a Star Trek-themed cruise that's coming up. So I didn't even know that was happening. Thankfully for Gabe, he was able to tell me all about it and what's going on with that. So I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Make sure to leave a comment either on my Twitter, at TJ McAleen. Make sure to leave a comment with Place to Be Nation. Make sure to leave a comment over at the iTunes account. Stitcher, Podbean, I'm not sure wherever else you can find the show, but yeah, let your voice be heard. You know, also give a review. It just helps get some more eyes and ears onto the show and gets more people interested in what we're doing over here. As I always give little plugs out, just like Place to Be, they have a lot of stuff going on, especially for this week. It's SummerSlam week, not the biggest event that WWE does. That's going to be WrestleMania week, which I would personally be going to because it's going to be here in Dallas, or actually could be in Dallas. I'm here, well, regardless. So it's going to be a great event. They're doing a lot of great stuff with all their podcasts and all their writings over there at their site. It's a big event, and it's August, so there's nothing else really going on in the world of sports. I know football's starting, but really it's training camps and preseason. Baseball starting to wrap up, which, unless you're a Pirates fan or someone on the team that's in the playoffs, you're interested in that. and or if you're like Will and a lot of you others, EPL is just getting going. So World Wrestling Federation or Entertainment, SummerSlam, Place to Be Nation, be sure to go to their website while you're listening to the show and check it out, everything that they're doing over there. Actually, go to the website after you're done listening to the show because you stick around for the entire thing. So without further ado, I'll stop talking. I'll let Gabe pick it up from here. And here's Gabe Zaldivar. We'll catch up with you after the show. On the show this week, episode 4 of the TJ McLoon Show, I went to the well here of former friends of mine from my days at Bleacher Report. First off, we had Big Nasty 2 weeks ago doing his thing with wrestling and whatnot, but we've done football, we've done wrestling, we've done regular football with English, so I want to change it up a little bit and have more of a grab bag, a smorgasbord, if you will, of topics, and I could think of no one better to do that than my old buddy from Bleacher Report days, now with Travel Pulse, doing writing over there, and also Forbes. I really moved on up in the world from doing the 50 most hottest wives and girlfriends of the, you know, Comic-Con to actually writing about sports and money. My old buddy out in California, Gabe Zaldivar. Gabe, thank you very much for coming on. And seeing that you write for a travel magazine, you are located at where now? I'm assuming some hut in the Tahitian Islands.
I am actually in a hot office in Los Angeles through a heat wave right now.
Okay.
But yeah, I cover a wide, diverse thing. The writing hasn't gotten any better, but the subjects are more diverse, TJ.
Well, that's good. Well, I mean, it was great because at the tail end of when you were there with the company, it was you were there to just cover everything and anything that would happen pop culture-wise. But now, you know, with Travel Pulse, what's been some of the biggest, not biggest stories, but most interesting travel stories that you've had to write about?
Well, actually, with Travel Pulse, it hasn't really changed much since my days at Bleacher Report. I'm doing entertainment writing and pop culture. So just the mattering of anything that's kind of silly out there or kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to travel, actually, this week has been pretty cool. There was a Reddit AMA about the craziest things people have seen on cruises or actually behind the scenes. The Red Sox are actually giving away an air you can stay in Wade Park. So one person can actually win that and stay during a September game, stay overnight there. And then also just recently, CBS Productions has said they're going to do a Star Trek The Cruise
really?
In 2007 with William Shatner, people from Star Trek The Next Generation. So there's a bunch of stuff out there.
So I feel bad for the guy who played Worf, because he's going to have to be in that makeup throughout the entire trip. And same with the guy who played Data. Like, he's going to have to be in complete costume makeup for the entire time, right?
Yeah, we're about Michael Dorn and Brent Spiner, you know, American legends, acting legends. They won't be there. The people who played Riker will be there.
Okay.
William Shatner will be there. The person who played Deanna Troi will be there.
Hmm.
So it's actually going to be pretty star-studded, though.
That actually will be. What about the Grand Cruise? Will they be having you write about that? The Gronkowski cruise that's coming up after the season's over.
Oh, God, yes. That looks so... I don't know if you've seen the commercial yet.
Oh, I have.
It looks like a Gronkowski cruise that you're just going to... You'll get there on day one and get so hammered you won't remember any of the cruise.
Well,
and you better prepare for a gnarly hangover after you come back, because that's what exactly it looks like.
Well, it's like during the Super Bowl week, they had the Bud Light cruise or Bud Light Do What Everything Town. And, you know, I just turned 33 last week, and I have about 3 to 4 beers in a night, and I just get so dehydrated and hungover from just that, and I can only imagine, it just looks like a terrible time. I mean, if you're over 30, you shouldn't go to this thing, right?
No, not at all. TJ, I'm at the point in my life now when I'm down for whatever is usually a few beers and a quick, you know, get to bed as quickly as possible before the next day. I can't drink 2-3 nights in a row anymore.
No.
My whole point for there is just not hard more. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's funny. Whenever we talked, I think last time when I had the old show over at my website, it was when you just got back from Sochi and doing the Winter Olympics and how you said that your wife and yourself, you know, you got hammered before the plane ride went out and it worked out perfectly. And a quick story on my end, my wife and I went out to Bora Bora about a year ago, almost a year ago. And the flight out, we didn't do that, flying out of Tom Brady International out in Los Angeles. And when we flew from Bora Bora back to Tahiti then back to Los Angeles, I did your route of getting hammered for the Bora Bora flight, and that did not go so well. So I can say that your advice of doing that doesn't work out when you take a puddle jumper before a six-hour layover.
I never said I was a travel guru when it came to advice, Chips. Come, dude. You're going to have great time, and the flight's going to go just quickly. You're going to pass out on the plane, or as you found it, bad, pretty gnarly for you.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, it was just, they were yelling, who's here for the Bora Bora Tahiti flight? And I yelled me and started doing the Daniel Bryan yes chants all around the airport. I had drinking about maybe a quarter left of the Cuban rum we had, so I tried to bat flip everything because I thought I was Puig. So, yeah, that was, that did not go over so well. So, we'll segue off of travel. You know, you're a big Los Angeles Dodgers fan. Your team, they're going to win the NL West because you don't have a voodoo devil magic team at the top of it like my Pirates do to the Cardinals. So, I'm very jealous of that. Your confidence ranking going into the eventual playoffs in about 6 weeks are going to be what?
The confidence level is nauseous at the moment. The Dodgers just they're just a schizophrenic team right now, where Brett Anderson will give up 7 runs or whatever he did earlier in the week, but then you follow that with sublime performances from Greinke and Kershaw, and that's what this team has been. So the thing that's troubling is the latest trade really hasn't worked out for the Dodgers so far.
Right.
Alex Wood has got touched up a little bit. Jim Johnson is, I don't know if he's still playing for his last team because he's up. But we're coming out, he's doing some good things. You know, Howie Kendrick went down, so he was key out there. But I was a big proponent of the trade. I thought it was a genius trade to pull off, that it's settled the bullpen. They have arms out there. I think the likes of Matt Latos and Alex Wood are going to be fine going forward.
Right.
So I think they're just suffering a hiccup right now. The worry for me is the Dodgers are relying too much on Bobby Pearson right now. So they're fine. They're what, 3.5 games up on the Giants. They're looking good. The Giants are you know, floundering right now. So they'll get into the playoffs, and if they get hot at the right time, I like no better team than the Dodgers, actually. And that's not being biased. I'm usually a pessimist on them.
Mm-hmm.
But you go 1-4 pitching wise and then their lineup, they could do some damage, but they need to get hot. So I'm not that confident, but that's coming off a pretty, you know, before Kershaw and Greinke took the bump, some pretty bad outings for the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, they just came out of Pittsburgh where Latos gave up a home run to Francisco Liriano, who has, I think, 2 quote total hits in his entire career. So, and who's famous for gifs of him just not even trying at all at swinging the bat. So that was very nice as, like, you know, a Pirates fan. Or Mattingly just leaving out, man, which reliever was that Sunday night to get torched for 7 runs? So is it a thing where, you know, if he doesn't go deep in this postseason, then he's not going to be there anymore?
I've always liked Tim Wallach as a manager. He's now the bench coach. And I think Mattingly will be fine. I've always said he does a good job of being that. I would never compare him to Phil Jackson other than this, but he has a good way of not being too high, not being too low, which is good for a team like the Dodgers. I think they need a glue guy like Juan Uribe, which they got rid of Alberto Callazo. No clue what that was all about. I think Mattingly will be fine. It looks like they're fairly sold on him, but he can't hit for these guys. The pitching has to be there. But yeah, he tends to leave his guys out there. I think recently it's more been the case where he doesn't want to go to his bullpen too often. So he'll just leave guys out there and be like, screw it, you got into this mess, look, we're getting to the 6th inning no matter what.
Right.
So just keep pitching.
I think it's interesting. You know, I'll ask you, because you know, you're a fan rather than, you know, a media type with a narrative or agenda. Is Puig really to blame for this team's struggles?
No, not at all. I think Yasiel Puig is having a tumultuous season when it comes to injuries. He's come back, and he's shown flashes of himself with the glove. He threw a runner out at second base the other day.
He sure did. Amazing. Polanco, who's fast.
A couple games ago that was just rocketed out of the stadium. I think it's much to do about, I think it's overblown what the league is doing behind the scene, I think. I think they toyed around with, you know, trading him. I don't think they were keen on giving up someone who could be a perennial all-star in right field for, you know, a rental or something like that coming back. I think he'll be fine. I think the one thing that I don't like is that MLB gets on these guys like a Yasiel Puig or like a Bryce Harper for what their antics are. I think baseball, a slow game, is losing viewers, and they would do well to embrace the bat flips or the Puigisms or Bryce Harper or something like that. So they need to embrace more of the new school and stop with the whole, oh, you know, it's, you know, old school kind of aesthetics and things like that.
Well, it's like with my Pirates, we have Jung Ho Gong, who came from the Korean League, where if you YouTube Korean bat flip, there are just countless numbers of clips of people just tomahawking bats into the air after they hit a home run. And if you look at, I think it's Gong's first home run in San Diego, he has a thing, it's a split second, you can see him want to go for the bat flip because that's what he's used to, and then realize, I'm going to get a ball in the ear hole if I do this. So it's best not to go ahead. But, you know, would, I'll tell you this, I missed it. I missed this, and you can agree or disagree with this one, but I miss steroids. I miss steroids so much. Do you miss steroids in baseball?
You know, I want to say no, because you can't just say, you know what, screw it.
I miss steroids. Back.
They went through so much tumult over the steroid era that it's gone.
Right.
But I think if you look before the steroid era, there was ebbs and flows as far as offense is concerned. And hitters will catch up with what pitchers are doing outside of performance-enhancing drugs at some point. I've never been more invested than I have been in the last couple of years. I think there's some great baseball going on. And it has to do with actually the double wild card. I think having two wild card spots has really helped baseball. So I think tweaks like that, like here and there, and being inventive with, like, the All-Star Home Run Derby. That was amazing.
It was nice.
I think you can make those tweaks with the All-Star game. You can make little slight things here and there. They now have a clock to get guys out onto the field quicker. They need to incorporate that maybe a little bit further into the game. Now, I'm not saying they should put the game on clock, but I'm saying little tweaks here and there will solve problems there instead of just having people write up again.
Right. I think I just made our buddy Zach Reimer, if he hasn't listened to the show, his head explode by saying that they should bring back steroids. I'm glad that you probably talked down a lot of people listening saying that, yeah, but no. But I mean, it's like now when, say, Trout gets to 32 or so, and he maybe, I mean, okay, we'll get off Trout, we'll say Pujols. He signed that giant contract at the age of 33 or 34, and there's no way he's going to live up to it. Robinson Cano in Seattle signed a big deal. No way he's going to live up to it. Matt Kemp, you guys should ship him out to San Diego. He's on his decline. You pump him full of HGH, and you know what? They're still playing very well. It's just like Bartolo Colon. I'll ask you this one. Do you get away with being a lovable steroid guy if you're a fat person?
You know what? I think baseball embraces their fatties.
Yes.
So I think fans just by and large will give them the benefit of the doubt if, like, Bartolo Colon, he had to hit, you know, that's a really fatty at bat.
Right.
It's funny. But it especially makes it more enjoyable when he actually does get a hit or something like that. So like him or Uribe or Pablo Sandoval, you know, if they misplay a ball, it's not as stinging as if somebody else did it, as if Puig did it. It's like, okay, you look like you're not human.
Right.
You should have made that play. Why did you strike out? But when you have guys that look like they just came from a softball league, it's a little bit more enjoyable. You're like, I would have done that. Oh, okay, cool.
I mean, I think Colon just walks up, and instead of having pine tar on his neck, it's HGH that uses to help grip the ball a little better. And we don't care, because, hey, he looks like a frog, and why not? And, you know, that's the thing. I wish Puig would get traded to the Mets because you'd have Team Cuba. How much fun would that be if Puig got dealt the net to the Mets for one of their big pitchers? I think you would take that as a Dodgers fan.
I like what the Dodgers are doing as far as being keen in on Higgins, because that's Dodgers throughout history. Anytime they've won a World Series, it's been because they've had great pitching and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know if the DeGrom for Puig or something like that. First of all, I don't know if the Mets would even do that, because their pitching has been what saved them through this whole season.
Yes.
They just have a stellar starting rotation. But it'd be interesting. Now, I mean, you have Yoenis Cespedes over there, so you don't need a Puig.
Oh, you always need a Puig. You need a Puig, Cespedes, Uribe, Colon. How much? Oh, that was team. Then they probably could get a mariachi band to play on the dugout, you know, have couple more flares. You could have fireworks coming out of the New York Apple during a home run. So much fun could be on that team. I wouldn't ditch my Pirate fandom, but once they get knocked out to the eventual overlords of the Cardinals, I would totally become a Mets fan from that one. But one last thing here with baseball. I tell you what's missing from your Dodgers, and we spoke about this offline over on Google Chat, the Rally Bear. Where has the Rally Bear been this year with his surgical gloves and his like Dollar General bear mask?
You know what? I need to bring that back, actually. I think we said that that was me, even though it wasn't
I don't want to out you, Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne, I didn't want to out you, is it?
I think having rally animals
yes.
is really key to having baseball become a major sport again. Or, you know, you surf something like football. Let's get more rally animals out there. I think that can only help the cause.
Rally raccoons. I think we said that was the big one. Something that's terrifying, but yet cuddly. And something that you could easily find in a ballpark because they're disgustingly dirty with a bunch of just random trash around the dugout.
Well, there was also a skunk in the dugout, which I forget what team that was a couple months ago or a month ago. And then you have the squirrel going into the Cardinals, the rally squirrel. It's in a menagerie on baseball land, man.
It is. It is. All right. So here while we're recording, I have ESPN on the background, and they have the courtroom sketch of Tom Brady come up here. If you don't have kids, I have a 5-month-old, so she hasn't gotten into drawings and putting stuff up on the refrigerator. If, hypothetically, your child brought home a picture that they drew of someone that looked like that, would you be forced to put it up on the refrigerator, or would you just smile politely and try and tuck it away somewhere?
That was more of a masterpiece, KJ, and actually, I think you're a little too down on that picture, because it was more. Usually, you get those court art renderings, and they look like the guy. I think the artist was like, you know what, I'm going to infuse my own creativity into this, because that looked nothing like Tom Brady. I would put it actually in my living room. I'd frame it.
You know, I bet you could put that up on eBay or so, and that would probably go for a couple grand.
Oh, of course. Yeah, just sign it.
Yeah.
Oh, have Tom Brady sign it?
Oh, my God. Yeah, why did she do it? Apparently she apologized for doing it. She's getting a bunch of hate mail. Why not? Just go off and sell it for $10,000, $15,000 and donate a portion to charity.
I like it. He's not doing anything else right now anyway.
No, he is not. He is not indeed. Okay, so coming off of that, that just randomly popped up here, and my ADD side self just decided to talk about it. But one thing I did want to get your thoughts on, bigger spectacle when you went to Sochi for the Olympics or when you went to San Diego's Comic-Con?
Oh, man. Well, this last Comic-Con was my second Comic-Con. I mean, the Olympics, that's just a special place unto itself, man.
Okay.
That's just togetherness and fraternity of the world, and it's lovely. Comic-Con is just a show. It's crazy. I'm a huge nerd. But when I go there, I am lower. I mean, there's people dressed up as Klingons. There's stormtroopers. There's everything. If you enjoy even a little bit of people watching, that is the place to go to. Sit at a bar and just pound a few while you watch some of the most incredible things.
Well, what's some of the most outrageous costumes or some of the most dedicated ones that you saw while there?
Oh, dude, I mean, people were dressed up as Groot, which were awesome. There's, like, some of the main ones were things I didn't even know. I'm sure they were from, like, World of Warcraft or something like that. No clue. There is apparently some sort of Thundercats online movie that people were trying to get made. So the cast was there dressed in full Thundercats regalia, and they were just walking around, you know, passing out flyers. And they looked good. They looked like, you know, B-movie standard as far as movies are concerned. Right. It wasn't, you know, Hollywood, but they looked really good. And that was just... And that was just, you know, like, just a normal, you know, nobody was like, oh my God, look at that. It was just, some of the most ornate things, it doesn't really, you know, people don't bat an eye at it. That's how crazy Comic-Con can be.
So do they have a small child or a midget play Snarf?
You know what? Snarf wasn't there. I went to their website, actually, just to, like, see where they're at. And they just have, like, a teaser out there. They're still trying to get money.
Right.
But Snarf wasn't there. I absolutely enjoy, I love Snarf.
Yeah, how
can
you...
Like Hooter from Captain EO.
Right, how
just
can you have...
that character that's just brilliant. So I missed out on Snarf.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of mad about that.
It would be like having a Star Wars reboot and not having any Wookiees in it. Or not even a Wookiee, but R2-D2. Like, you can't do that.
Or Ewoks. You can miss out on Ewoks. But yeah, I agree. You gotta have the Wookiee walk around, of course.
Of course. Right. Well, I only support that because, you know, you didn't see any Ewoks until number 6, if I got them correctly. Yes. I believe number 6. Anyway, so were you there for any of the giant premieres or giant trailers that came out? And, you know, what's that even like, you know, having the buzz that, oh my God, Deadpool's gonna have their premiere, or Suicide Squad, or, you know, the new X-Men one?
So the way I've done it the last couple of years, and I recommend this for anyone that isn't exactly dying to go see the Deadpools or the Suicide Squads, or that, because you are going to have to camp out overnight,
really?
Basically, to watch those in Hall H. So what I usually do, and the trailer is online, like the instant
right.
It gets premiered inside the hall. So for me, what I love to do is I just walk inside, around the hall, look at, you know, Artist Alley, go look at just like... just the show. It's kind of like Las Vegas for nerds, where you walk around and it's just a show everywhere. So I walk around there, a lot of the bar restaurants, a lot of deals, where you can get free drinks if you Instagram something. and then a lot of it, like Comedy Central was there,
right.
Or Xbox was there, so you can walk in and play games and interact with certain things. So I love to do that rather than spend a night over, you know, just to go see, you know, an hour presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I'm at. And actually, you'll usually, if you meander about, you'll find little things like Adult Swim had a circus behind the hall, which was awesome, giving away free T-shirts and stuff. And then also behind the hall, they had this, again, I saw this the first year, was like a medieval jousting or fighting experience where they were actually fighting, you know, with fake swords and stuff.
But
it was awesome. It was just a spectacle. That's all it is. So... I encourage people to kind of walk around, because by the end of the day, you're like, wow, I saw a lot.
And it's also fun if you're dressed as Batman, you walk up to the Superman booth and just say, I'm going to kick your ass in our movie coming out in 2016.
Exactly, and Batman would win, of course.
I bet instead of Crips and Bloods, you could get as violent of a fight between Batman and Superman's crew.
I'm Team Batman all the way. My brother is... completely Team Superman. He's in that camp. So I'm interested to see Batman versus Superman when it comes out next year.
Well, do you think that it's going to not live up to the hype as, say, Alien versus Predator or Freddy versus Jason?
You're listing off some major movies there, man.
I am.
No, it's so far, apparently there was a screening, and again, it was our, I have to preface this, that the executives in the room, but they so far loved what the movie was. There was apparently a standing ovation, which is one of the reports I saw earlier this week. Again, it's executives and writers in the room,
right.
And stuff like that being like, oh, awesome. But apparently it's going the right way, and the trailer looks like it's going to be a fantastic movie.
Right.
So DC's playing a lot of catch-up with Marvel, who is winning the day. But if they pull it off right, they have a slate of movies that can go toe-to-toe with Marvel, and people love their comic book movies.
They do.
So there's much money to be had.
So, I had something else going. Oh, I was just saying they should take Batman and Superman to Cannes, and they should take it to, like, the Tribeca Film Festival and bring it down. They'll probably play well in South by, but, like, all those super, like, snooty and, what's the one out in Colorado that I can, Sundance. Yeah, go play it out there. I'm going to see what that would do, like, up against the super serious Woody Allen movies of Batman versus Superman.
Exactly, our premier Deadpool there. So that, yeah. That's really funny.
So, you know, Fantastic Four didn't do well. We'll stay on comic book movies here. Didn't do too well. I thought maybe that was going to be signal the beginning of the end for the comic book movies. But as we were talking offline about Ant-Man, it did $300 million worldwide. So Fantastic Four, just something that it was a miss, like the Green Lantern was, or something, you know, a little smoke to begin about these comic book movies?
No, I mean, I think we're not even near oversaturation as far as comic books are concerned. Because there's such great stories within Marvel and DC universes, and we're just getting to the good part of all of those. So you have Civil War in Marvel, you'll have Batman vs. Superman in DC. When it comes to Ant-Man, it was, you know, a cursory character that nobody really knew too much about. So I don't think it was that much. I think it was just people didn't know what Ant-Man was all about. And I saw it. Fantastic movie. I went in there thinking, I guess I'll watch Ant-Man. I think I went to go see something else. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll see Ant-Man instead. Fantastic movie. Really fun. Shows what Marvel can do. And I think they've made, yeah, like domestically $150 million, and their budget was $130 million. So they made their money back, and they'll continue to make money when it goes, you know, to video and all this other stuff. But we're far from the point of oversaturation. I think when movies suck, so when you have Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds, it was a really bad movie. I saw it, not a good movie, and it showed in the returns.
Right.
Fantastic Four I haven't seen, but from what I hear, it had like, what, a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, God.
When movies are bad, they're bad. And not even Marvel can help them.
Yeah, exactly. Or just, I think even before that, there was three Fantastic Fours before this, and they were telling the same story of this one. It's like they went the Spider-Man route, correct?
Yeah, at a certain point, and I think Superman gets into this so often.
Oh,
where,
yeah.
Yes, we know the story. Yeah, it could just get us to the part that we actually enjoy. So I think the first Iron Man, you get that where it's a little bit more, it just takes less time to get to the action stuff.
Right.
And I haven't seen the Fantastic Four, but apparently it's pretty plodding. And they did the same thing with the first Fantastic Fours that were like, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't really need a reboot, but they're trying to cash in on like, hey, let's do a Fantastic Four. Let's get a little bit younger. And it just didn't work. So you can probably cross him off from, you know, a series of movies.
Now, Deadpool come out with Ryan Reynolds. Is this his last shot of being a leading man in Hollywood? Or will executives and studios go, oh, Ryan Reynolds, he's a name. You know, he did, oh, God, I'm forgetting what the Sandra Bullock movie is, where Larry went to Alaska. A Proposal, that's what it was. Yeah, I saw that movie with my wife, Sarah. Good movie. But
The Proposal was great.
It was funny.
The Proposal was great. I love my rom-com. Fantastic movie.
Yes, exactly. But is this his last shot at connecting with fans and being someone that can win a box office?
Well, I think Ryan Reynolds, I've always liked him. I thought he was a hilarious actor. Very Vince Vaughn-esque, where just his type of person comes through in whatever role he's playing. And he's so easy in the role. With them, so glad that they gave him a second chance, because if you remember, he was in that, it wasn't that bad, Wolverine movie, and he played Deadpool in that, but the executive decided to take his mouth away towards the end of, spoiler alert, and it was just like, why would, that's like Deadpool's thing, is he's this hilarious, doesn't shut up character,
right.
That's perfect for Ryan Reynolds, so he's got another shot at Deadpool, the actual Deadpool. He's got the uniform. He's got, and if you see the trailer, it's pure Deadpool for anyone who's read the comics or seen him a little bit in the cartoons or anything like that. So I think it was just a matter of they knew they had the right actor for that character. And it looks like they're going to pull it off. That this is his vehicle. And I see if the trailer's any indication, there's going to be a couple Deadpool movies. There just has to be.
Good. I mean, I agree with you in the trailer. It looks very sarcastic. I like they gave it an R rating so that they can let him, you know, or let the character and let the writers just go completely just, you know, balls to the wall and be explicit as they want to. I think one of my favorite parts of the trailer is at the end where him and TJ Miller are just ripping back and forth of what he looks like with the cancer going on him. So I'm happy to see that for that one. Okay, so before we get out of here, because we're about the half hour mark, your Forbes work, you're doing a lot of stuff with them. So some of the stories you're writing on with Forbes and, you know, making that transition to a very, very highly respected, you know, website and magazine are what?
Essentially, it's just covering sports, you know, the sports money aspect of their website. And for me, it's kind of tinted more from the pop culture point of view. But it's just stories that I see that just like that just resonate with me. So this week, talking about the Lions, Ryan Broyles spending basically $60,000 of his earnings every year and just that, investing the rest, and kind of using that as a spinoff to show that, yes, we hear about athletes going broke all the time, but there are a few in the NFL that really take finances seriously. Like you have Alfred Morris, the Redskins, you have Rob Gronkowski, who, according to his book, hasn't spent one dime of his Patriots money. He lives off his endorsements.
Right.
So here and there you see that. I also touched upon Ronda Rousey and the Beth Korea fight, and right after that, news came out that she's going to star in her own movie biopic. So, and I actually love Rousey. So just a little switch here and there, just read with me. I just jump on and it affords me that that opportunity, so I'm grateful.
It's like Ryan Broyles would be the opposite of what the storyline on Ballers would be.
Ryan Broyles, if you're doing differences, I guess Floyd Mayweather would be the opposite, where he just completely flaunts his money.
Right.
And that's not to say Floyd Mayweather is going broke anytime soon. It's just right. Floyd Mayweather is keen on showing piles of cash on Instagram. Whereas Ryan Broyles like, you know what, I'm going to take care of my family.
Yeah.
Not going to talk about it unless I get, you know, asked about it. So I think that's the dichotomy right there.
Right. So with Rousey, you know, she's UFC's biggest draw. I mean, I think she's even bigger than Conor McGregor or whenever CM Punk steps into the octagon there. Does it make sense money-wise for her and the UFC to cross-promote with the WWE for, say, WrestleMania 32?
No, well, the UFC is pretty mum on what they pay. They've been fairly tight-lipped on exactly what Rousey gets paid. And you have to assume that it's a lot less than what they're committed to. And, you know, I do have a preface with a lot, I don't know. Again, they're pretty tight-lipped on what she gets. The good thing for her is that's got to change at some point because her draws are pay-per-views. I saw a couple days after her Beth Correa fight, that it was trendier than the previous big fight in UFC. So she's the biggest draw. People love her. She's like the, she's almost Floyd Mayweather-esque, and I hate to say them in the same sentence, as far as being the bad guy or the bad boy or the bad girl, except that people actually love her. Right. They love her character. They love just the kind of personality she is outside of the ring and when she brings to it in it, and she's damn good at what she does.
Right.
So she's a lovable, not a bad girl, but I think it resonates with the song that she uses on her walkout music. You know, she doesn't care what you guys think about her. But it just so happens we like her a lot. So, and she's going to get tons of endorsements. She has the movie coming out. She's been in a couple movies already. So she's going to be well taken care of as far as anti-time money coming in.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, the last fight, it was a couple weeks ago, and I talked myself into like, oh, you know, I should buy it. Maybe we'll see what's going on. And then we got knocked out in 40-some-odd seconds. Does that last with the popularity, or is this going to be something like Tyson in, you know, the late 80s to where you kind of want to see how quickly she can knock that guy out?
You know, I think it's different in MMA, and I'm not the biggest MMA guy, but I grew up with my dad getting Tyson fights on pay-per-view and him being pissed off, being like, I spent, you know, whatever it was back in the day for Americans or what have you during Tyson's prime. But I don't get that with Rousey yet. I actually enjoy spending the money, and UFC usually puts together a great card with a ton of fights. So even if there's a clunker, you have a couple more fights, and then every so often through pay-per-views, if it ends too early, they'll throw a couple 3-1s in from the pre undercard.
Right, right.
So you get your money's worth fight-wise, but when it comes to Rousey, you're there, and she dominates in third or if it's in two rounds, you feel like you're in the midst of watching something great happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really, I don't really get that vibe of, I just wasted my money. Yes, the fight will be in gift form like an hour later, but still just seeing it live and seeing it, you know, with your friends and stuff in the room, you know that, you know, a fighter's career is shortened all the time. You kind of want to see it as it unfolds, basically.
And that Tyson thing, probably with your dad ordering the pay-per-view, was probably like $20 back then to what nowadays would be like, oh, $19.99, yeah, sure, whatever. But back then, like, oh,
well,
God.
Well, adjusted for inflation, that's what now, like $2,000?
Yeah, exactly. And it's sad to see what, like, Andre Dawson or some of the, or Reggie Jackson would get paid, and then the Reggie Jackson in the NBA, who's barely a fringe starter, if not a role player, makes $70 million on his entire contract instead of making $70 million in a career. So yeah, it's great. It's one thing that I, you know, had my daughter already taking swings from the left side of the plate and right side of the plate. Make her a switch hitter already. Let's go. Get into sports, and hopefully you can be a lucrative career in that one. But yeah, that's all I got on my end here. I know we tried to do a grab bag as many topics as possible. The only thing I think of that I would have liked to have gotten into with you is HBO and Sesame Street, and how I would like to see True Detective Season 3 be Bert and Ernie and have what Cookie Monster's really addiction to cookies is all about. But yeah, Sesame Street and HBO, I think that would be a fun little mix.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see which puppet George R. R. Martin kills off first. That's going to be really interesting. We'll see what happens.
Or Grover and Elmo have a battle between both kingdoms because of the same bleeping puppet. From that.
With that, I got
I was going to say, or that Grover and Elmo, they both have feuding kingdoms because of the same bleeping puppet, those two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, essentially, totally.
Right. You just have them just go off and have Snuffleupagus be the dragon. Like, he'll be the thing that's teased over and over and over of, like, the Snuffleupaguses are coming. And you're like, where are the goddamn Snuffleupaguses?
Yeah, I love it. I say you'd be a writer for Sesame Street as it moves on to HBO.
Sadly.
Gritty, you know.
The Wire starring Oscar the Grouch.
And that's another show, actually. I'm sorry, you just bring up The Wire. Favorite show ever. So if anyone listening has not seen it yet, it's, you know, it's on Amazon Prime. Go do it.
Right.
Please.
Yeah. It's one. Actually, you bring it up. I didn't get into that because I sunk myself into Oz, sunk myself up in The Sopranos, and I said, I'll take a break and I'll get to it eventually. And I just haven't gotten into it. But from what I've heard from, you know, the people who love it, they love it.
The only thing I have to suggest is if you get into it, get past, like, I don't know what it is, maybe the fifth episode. Because it's a little slow going. They got to set some things up.
Right.
But once you do, you will binge watch it all in like a couple weeks. Trust me.
Well, I think it's going to be a show where I watch and my wife doesn't watch with me because we try to watch Breaking Bad together. And after about an episode and a half, she just threw her hands up and said, out. Nope, done. I don't want to do this anymore. And I said, yeah, all right, I'm done too. So I think it's one that we got.
I'm breaking my wife down a little bit. She's not a binge watcher by nature, whereas I can sit down and watch like 8 episodes of something during a day.
Right.
But slowly but surely, we're getting her to watch like 3, maybe 4 episodes in a night or something. So Keep on the good fight.
The only thing that I got her sucked into like that was Friday Night Lights. Whenever QB1 went down that spinal injury, and Taylor gave his big rousing speech, and then Matt Saracen came in and won the game, as soon as that was over, she was like, let's go again. Run it back. Let's do it again. Let's see what else is on. So,
boom, yeah. So it takes those episodes, of course. It takes those episodes, yeah.
Yes. Well, great, man. So at Gabe, wait, hold on. Give the Twitter account because I'm going to horribly botcher it.
Yeah, if anyone wants to follow me or see anything, at Gabe Zal on Twitter, at Gabe Zal on Instagram, and then throw a shout out to my podcast, actually, as well, that I have with my brother. It's Hot and Brothered.
There you go.
On iTunes.
That's the one where you did the promo with you as Batman and him as Superman, correct? So that was the promo where you were dressed as Batman, he was dressed as Superman, correct?
Yeah, exactly. That's the one, yes. And we covered, you know, pop culture and sports. So kind of what we did here, just a smattering of tons of stuff.
All right, thanks to Gabe Zalcolar for coming on the show this week. that's it. Sorry, I went a little long. 44 minutes, not too bad. Hopefully it was something you listened to. It was something easy to digest and process. And, well, really, we didn't take that many too serious topics aside from, unless you're really on the side that Fantastic Four wasn't that bad of a movie. And if you are on that side, then I'm very glad you're listening. You're in a very, very small minority. That's about it from right there. It's a shame that we didn't have him on after Straight Outta Compton. Saw that movie over the weekend. It was fantastic. That had been a lot of fun to talk to Gabe about that because, you know, he lives in L.A. So I'm not saying he has a first-person account on what's going on. I mean, that was back in the late 80s or late 90s. I mean, there is still a lot of stuff going on when it comes to what we see on the internet and what we see through Twitters and, you know, what goes on our TVs. But that can be for another conversation at another time where we discuss everything that's going on there. Today, it was all about fun, all about sports and movies and pop culture and comics and what have you. So I'll cut it off here and go a little long. That's about it for this week. I'm TJ McAloon. Thank you for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the show, like I said, on iTunes, Place to Be Nation, Stitcher Radio, everywhere you can find it. Follow myself and Place to Be Nation on Twitter, which you can easily do by clicking on the links on the description of the show. That's why I make it so nicely for everyone to do that. It takes us right to our Twitter pages. Click a follow button, give a suggestion of who you'd like to see next on the show, any upcoming guests, or anything like that. So, for the TJ McAloon Show, I am TJ McAloon, as always. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.